Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to give you that shortcut to being genuinely well-informed. And today, wow, we're tackling maybe the biggest question out there. What is everything made of? We're diving deep into particle physics, and our guide is the work of Frank Close, who makes this stuff incredibly clear.
That really is the key point, isn't it? Particle physics, it sounds so academic, so distant maybe, but it's actually humanity's deepest and, you could argue, most successful probe into what reality actually is. Our mission today is really to show you how these abstract ideas, quarks, bosons, fields, are not just understandable, but they actually translate directly into technologies that, well, they shape our everyday lives. This is truly essential stuff.
Absolutely. We're taking that ancient philosophical question and moving it squarely into science. What is everything, you know, from the tiniest proton to the biggest galaxy fundamentally built from, and how do those little bits interact?
Yeah, and the great thing about Frank Close's approach is who it's for. It's tailored for, well, for you, the curious general reader. Maybe you're a student, maybe you just want to grasp the science behind modern tech, but you don't necessarily want to wade through pages of advanced math. He manages to make the really inaccessible stuff accessible.
Okay, so let's talk about our guide then. Frank Close. He's a professor of theoretical physics at Oxford, and he holds this, well, pretty unique position. He's managed to do two incredibly difficult things really well.
Right. He's a genuine insider, a heavyweight. Close actually contributed significantly to the theory itself, specifically around quantum chromodynamics, how quarks and gluons behave. He wasn't just watching physics happen. He was helping build the framework.
And that insider knowledge is crucial. But his real gift, I think, for us anyway, is his ability to communicate it all. He spent time at CERN, you know, home of the Large Hadron Collider. So he gets the intellectual drama, the personalities, even the politics behind these huge global experiments.
Exactly. He understands the gap between a beautiful equation on a blackboard and the messy reality of trying to prove it experimentally. That experience lets him distill these just mind-bendingly complex ideas into narratives that make sense. He doesn't just tell you what the Higgs boson is, but why it was so hard to find and what that discovery meant to the actual people involved.
Okay, so where does Close begin this story? How does he approach it?
Well, fundamentally, his work is about demystifying the standard model of particle physics. He really celebrates it as this incredibly elegant, successful theory describing, well, pretty much all the elementary particles we know and the three fundamental forces governing them.
And he takes us on this kind of historical journey, right? Using that cosmic onion metaphor, peeling back the layers, starting way back with the Greek idea of the indivisible atomos, then moving forward through electrons, protons, neutrons, right down to the truly fundamental bits we know today, quarks, leptons, and those messenger particles, the bosons.
Yeah, and it's the journey of discovery that's so engaging in his telling. It's not just a list of facts. He shows how we figured this stuff out, like Rutherford's gold foil experiment, you know, the one that showed atoms are mostly empty space. It's like an intellectual detective story showing how human ingenuity kind of wrestled these secrets from nature.
Right. Let's get to the core of that onion then. So the first big challenge, how on earth do you study things that are billions of times smaller than anything you can see? And the answer is, of course, these giant machines, particle accelerators like the LHC at CERN.
Yeah, the analogy he often uses is critical here. Imagine you have two complicated watches and you can't pry them open to see inside. What do you do? Well, you smash them together really, really hard, and then you study all the gears and springs that fly out. Accelerators do that, but with protons, pushing them almost to the speed of light.
And this is where Einstein comes in, EMC eon. It's like cosmic archaeology because these colliding particles have immense energy. And when they hit, that energy transforms into mass. You're momentarily recreating these sort of exotic, super high energy conditions right after the Big Bang.
But, and this is a huge but, to understand those bits flying out, you have to accept you're in the quantum world. Close really emphasizes this shift, our everyday classical intuition. It just doesn't work here. You have to embrace things like wave-particle duality, the uncertainty principle.
Yeah.
It's a reality that's fundamentally probabilistic almost.
Weird. Speaking of weird things flying out, the mid-20th century sounds like it was total chaos for physicists. They started finding hundreds of new particles in these accelerator experiments. The particle zoo, they called it. seemed like a mess.
It really did. It was a crisis. Until Murray Gell-Mann came along in 1964 and introduced the idea of quarks. Gell-Mann's brilliant insight was realizing that many of these zoo particles, including familiar ones like protons and neutrons, weren't fundamental at all. They were composites, made of even smaller things, quarks. Specifically, just up and down quarks for protons and neutrons.
Okay, but wait. If up and down quarks make up all the stable matter around us, why did physicists find four other types? The strange, charm, top and bottom quarks. Seems extra.
Ah, that's a great question. It goes back to the underlying structure of the Standard Model. It's built on mathematical patterns, on symmetry. They realized the zoo wasn't random. It could be organized into these elegant families, kind of like the periodic table organizes elements. The extra quarks were needed to complete these symmetric patterns. They're heavier, unstable, only showing up in high-energy collisions, but they fit the theory perfectly.
Okay, so quarks and leptons, like the electron, are the matter particles. But what holds them together? We need the forces, the glue. How does Clowes explain forces now?
He explains that forces aren't some spooky action at a distance. They work because particles exchange other particles, messenger particles, called bosons. It creates this really unified, quite beautiful picture.
Right. So we have the photon, the particle of light carrying the electromagnetic force. That's what holds atoms together, chemistry, all that.
Yeah.
And then the gluon carrying the strong nuclear force. That's the incredibly powerful force gluing quarks together inside protons and neutrons.
Exactly. And then there are the W and Z bosons. They mediate the weak nuclear force. And the weak force is interesting. It's the force of change. It's responsible for radioactive decay because it can actually transmute one type of quark into another. An up quark can become a down quark, for example.
I see. So it allows for instability, for transformation. Okay.
Yeah.
And the Standard Model, it ties these three forces, electromagnetism, strong, weak, together really nicely. But as you mentioned, the big one it misses is gravity. Still the odd one out.
That's right. Which brings us neatly to the last and maybe trickiest piece of the Standard Model puzzle. Where does mass come from? Because initially, the beautiful symmetric equations of the theory actually required all particles to be massless, which is obviously wrong. We exist, things have mass. The solution proposed was the Higgs mechanism.
This is the idea of the Higgs field, isn't it? The sort of invisible energy field that permeates the entire universe like cosmic molasses or something.
Mm-hmm.
And particles get their mass depending on how much they interact with this field, how much they stick to it.
That's basically it. Clowes uses a fantastic analogy. Imagine a crowded room, like a party. That room represents the Higgs field. Now imagine a particle moving through. If it doesn't interact much with the people, the field, like a photon, it zips right through easily. It's massless. But if it interacts strongly, like a well-known celebrity entering the room who gets mobbed by people, it becomes harder for them to move through the crowd. They encounter resistance. That resistance, that drag, is what we perceive as mass.
That celebrity analogy is really helpful. But if this field is everywhere, why don't we feel it? Why is it sticky for us, you know, walking around?
Ah, because the stickiness isn't like treacle. It's about energy exchange at the quantum level. The crucial insight here, and Clowes really nails this, is that mass isn't some fixed property particles carry around like luggage. It's a dynamic relationship between the particle and the field, with space itself. Finding the Higgs boson in 2012 at CERN, that ripple in the field, was the final stunning confirmation of this whole idea.
Wow. That fundamentally changes how you think about what matter is.
It really does. Okay, so let's maybe pull back a bit and synthesize. What are the big themes that Clowes emphasizes throughout his work? First, definitely unity and diversity. All the staggering complexity we see around us, life, planets, stars, chemistry, it all emerges from the interactions of just a handful of fundamental particles and four basic forces. It's amazing simplicity underneath.
Right. The second theme seems to be the power of symmetry. These abstract mathematical symmetries in the equations aren't just neat tricks. They seem to dictate the fundamental laws of physics. Like that idea of spontaneous symmetry breaking this subtle mathematical shift that essentially switched on the Higgs field and gave the universe mass. It's profound.
Absolutely. And third, you cannot separate theory and experiment. It's this constant dance of theory and experiment. Science doesn't advance just by thinking. Theory makes predictions like the Higgs boson must exist, and then enormous, decades-long experiments are built to test them. They confirm, or sometimes they break, the theories, forcing revisions. They absolutely need each other.
Yeah. But Clowes is also very honest about the limits of knowledge. The Standard Model is fantastic, a triumph, but it's clearly not the whole story.
Yeah,
it doesn't include gravity, as we said. And crucially, it has nothing to say about the two biggest mysteries in cosmology right now, dark matter. that invisible stuff making galaxies spin faster than they should, and dark energy. The even weirder stuff, accelerating the expansion of the entire universe. The standard model misses like 95% of the universe's energy density.
Which just goes to show, every answer in physics seems to uncover deeper, stranger questions.
Close is also brilliant at distilling these complex ideas into memorable concepts. He really emphasizes the sense of wonder driving it all. One idea he comes back to is roughly, the most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It's about embracing the weirdness of quantum mechanics, not being put off by it.
That's a powerful way to look at it. Another key idea, which we touched on, that just redefines matter is, mass is not a property that particles carry around with them like luggage. It's not intrinsic, it's an interaction. That's a huge conceptual shift.
And finally, that incredible cosmic connection. We are all made of star stuff. The carbon in our bodies, the oxygen we breathe, the iron in our blood, none of that was made of the Big Bang. It was all forged inside stars through nuclear reactions governed by the very particles and forces we've been talking about, then scattered across the universe when those stars died. Mind-blowing.
It really connects the incredibly small to the unimaginably large. Which brings us to a very practical question people might ask. Why spend billions on these enormous colliders just to find particles that vanish in a fraction of a second? What's the point for us?
Well, the spin-offs, the unexpected applications have been revolutionary. The most famous one, the World Wide Web, invented at CERN. Not for profit, not for the public initially. Tim Berners-Lee created it in 1989 simply to solve an internal problem. How could thousands of physicists from all over the world instantly share the mountains of data coming off the experiments?
Right. That solution to a specific scientific data sharing problem literally became the infrastructure for global communication and commerce. Amazing. But the medical applications are just as significant, maybe more direct. PET scans, positron emission tomography, used for incredibly detailed medical imaging. They work by detecting antimatter annihilation, a concept straight out of particle physics research.
And even more directly, there's hadron therapy for cancer treatment. This uses specialized particle accelerators, often proton beams, fired directly at tumors. Because physicists understand precisely how these particles deposit their energy, they can make the beam stop right inside the tumor, delivering a killing dose there while minimizing damage to surrounding healthy tissue. It's incredibly precise.
Beyond technology, the very existence of CERN is, I think, a powerful societal lesson. It's this huge international collaboration, scientists from dozens of countries, many with political differences, working together peacefully on fundamental questions about reality. It's a model for cooperation.
So wrapping up, what's the final takeaway? For me, the Think Close highlights that really sticks with you, changes how you see the world, is realizing that the solid table in front of you, the chair you're sitting on, it's actually 99.9999% empty space. Its solidity, its feel, is an illusion. It's created by the incredibly powerful electromagnetic force field pushing back, holding those tiny distant particles in place.
That is a perspective shift. And I think the most valuable intellectual insight from all this is understanding that the standard model, despite being arguably the greatest scientific achievement in history, it isn't the final answer. It's not the summit. It's more like a really well-established, incredibly sturdy base camp. From here, physicists are launching the next expeditions into the truly unknown territories, quantum gravity, dark energy, maybe things we haven't even conceived of yet. It fills you with confidence, really, in the power of human curiosity and reason to keep pushing those boundaries.
A perfect and actually quite inspiring place to pause our journey into the very fabric of existence.
Indeed. A lot to think about.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.